Hello, thank you for joining us today. We invite you to connect with us on all our social media outlets. Now, let's go to the message.
Kicking off a brand new August series on these Wednesday nights, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. One of my favorite passages in all of the Word of God. We're going to read the NIV translation because in verse 2, and we won't get there tonight. We'll read it, but we won't get there tonight. There is two words that God just used to just expound this message, this series, this verse in my life the last few weeks, and I can't wait to get there, but we're going to make sure we set the tone. Hebrews 12, verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so doth easily entangle us. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. We're talking for the next few weeks on mastering the middle. What to do during the in-between seasons of your life. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, don't get stuck. You may be seated. You've heard me, if you've been here the last couple years, year or two, you've heard me talk that one of the things that I've taken to heart, and I've done my best, not perfected, but I've done my best with this piece of advice that Bishop gave me many years ago, is to fall in love with everyday life. And don't just fall in love with the high spots and the high points. And I'm glad that I heard that advice over and over and over when I was growing up, because at 39 years of age, the high days of my life are behind me. The day I got saved, the day I got filled with the Holy Ghost, the day I got baptized in water, those are three great days for believers. The day I got my driver's license, praise God. The day I turned 18, the day I got married, the day I welcomed my son into the world, the day I welcomed my daughter into the world, the day I bought my new house. Those are 9 dates, and all of them are in my rearview mirror. So then you ask yourself, what are you living for? Oh, there's a lot of living left to do. But the enemy loves, whether you're 25, 55, or 85, to tell you that it will never be as good as it once was. If you are fresh into the kingdom of God, he wants to remind you of how fun it was to club, how fun it was to change your girlfriend or your guy friend every 6 weeks, how fun it was to work hard all week long just to go drink it up, smoke it up on Friday and Saturday. Wants to tell you how good that was, but can I tell you, number one, it wasn't as good as you thought it was. Because you might have been having a good time Friday night, but when you woke up Saturday morning with a stranger in your bed and you're trying to figure out how you need to get out or how to get them out, that's no longer fun. Finding out that your bank account is overdrawn because you lived it up for a weekend, that's not fun. Finding out that you lost your job because of addiction and habit, cost you relationships because of addictions and habits, that's not fun. But can I encourage you that the enemy loves to even remind Christians and tell Christians, remember when it used to be so good and doesn't seem like it's that good anymore. Remember when it seemed to be so easy, but now it doesn't seem to be easy anymore. Can I just tell you that that is a lie from the pit of hell? That wherever God is taking us is greater than where he brought us from. Because if he wasn't taking us to a greater place, then we would already be in heaven. But the fact that you're sitting there and I'm standing here and you're watching online, it announces to the world, God is not done with me yet. God is not done with his church yet. And praise be to God, he is not done with this world yet. We are still going to see the greatest awakening and the greatest revival and the greatest coming to Christ that we have ever seen. And so those are great moments in front of us. But how many of you know when you get the promise, sometimes between the promise and the season of possession, there is a waiting season. Between Egypt and the promised land, there was a wilderness. This is the first thing that I want to get through to every believer here tonight. Egypt and the promised land, the start and the finish. But the wilderness, the time spent in the wilderness was not up to God, was not up to the enemy. The time spent in the wilderness was up to every believer and follower of Jehovah God. So I want to encourage you with this. Your waiting season can be 10 months or it can be 10 years. Your waiting season can be 10 days or it can be 10 seasons. I'm here to tell you, I want God to do what He's going to do and I want to do it quick. But there's going to be some times when it doesn't happen as quick as I wanted to or I thought it would happen, or maybe my faith needs a little more tempering and strengthening before I step into that new season. And so where we're going to jump into for the next 4 weeks is what do we do in the waiting season or in the middle? How do we master that middle season, and what do we do in the middle? Number one thing is don't get stuck. Don't get stuck in the middle. There's three parts to every journey. There's the start. Starting is not hard. Not hard at all. People start the new year with New Year's resolutions. 90% of them are broken by January 10th. Why? Because starting was not hard. Continuing was hard. Mastering the middle was hard. People start diets, I hear. I don't know. They start them. People start. You know why it's hard for me to eat right? Because I know it's not just going to be tonight after church. I got to wake up tomorrow and eat right. I got to eat right at lunch. I got to eat right at dinner. Come on now. You know why working out is tough? Because it's not the workout that gets you. It's thinking for the rest of my life, 6 days a week, I'm going to have to get on a treadmill. I'm going to have to get on elliptical. I'm going to have to go run bleachers. I'm going to have to go to Planet Fitness. And so a lot of us, we don't start, not because starting is hard, but our mind has already gone to the middle. Come on now. Can I tell him myself? I told Tyler all year long, because I don't know if you've known this or not, but Tyler's dropped 40 pounds this year, or last year, gone from 185 to 145. That dude is disciplined when he eats. He works out six times a week. Sometimes he works out twice a day. And he has inspired me. He at least has me thinking. And I was telling him all May and June, hey, when we get back from camp, I'm going to lose 40 pounds by my 40th birthday. 40 pounds in 120, 40 pounds in 4 months. And so he's like, man, that's awesome, Dad. That's awesome. We get back June 18th. That's a Friday. I said, let's just wait till Monday. Monday's always, always a good time to start. Monday comes. Well, July 4th is coming. We're going to cook out. We're going to eat. We're going to barbecue. July 4th comes. Well, Jaden's 15th birthday. We're going to have a party. We're going to be going out. I've already talked myself out of starting because I know the middle is going to be hard. Am I talking to somebody today? See, we've been taught that sometimes starting is hard. Starting is not hard. It is the middle that takes us out. And the enemy loves to talk us out of starting by making the middle seem so big. But I'm going to encourage you with a word that I've been encouraging many people with the last 2 years, is when you have something great big, this is how you eat an elephant. One day, one bite at a time. Some of us are looking at 365 days and saying, I don't know if I can do this all year. We're not wanting you to do it all year. We just need you to come on Sunday. This coming Sunday, that's the Sunday. We're not worried about the other 51 Sundays. You say, well, I don't know if I can spend an hour every day praying to God. 360. Let's not worry about an hour. Let's talk about the next 15 minutes. Let's talk about 15 minutes to start your day. Listen, Friday's going to show up. Saturday's going to be there. But let's just tackle what's in front of us. People start working out. They start diets. They start new jobs, come on. They start businesses. They start marriages, come on. They plan for a wedding and they never plan for the marriage. The marriage is the middle. You know what the finish line for marriage is? Heaven. Here's another thing, and I know a lot of this is practical. Here's another thing that God just, I mean, hit me over the head with, and it seems so simple, but it's so true. And those of you, we have a lot of engaged couples in the church in this season. Let me just tell you, the moment that your marriage starts is right after you say, I do. And so marriage, wedding day is easy. Texas makes it a little harder. You got to get your marriage license 72 hours before you get married. That's why everybody goes to Vegas, because you can immediately get married. 54% of marriages fail because they were not ready for the middle and they did not know how to master the middle. No one gets divorced at the reception hall. No one gets divorced cutting the cake. No one gets divorced when they're finding out who the next one by the garter belt and who caught this. And nobody, when everybody's doing the electric slide, nobody's getting divorced. Unless you showed up married and you're dancing with somebody else, that might. But the people that just got married, they're not getting divorced at the wedding. But there are some people that don't last 60 days. So the middle can be the first day, or it can be the last day before you get divorced. Can I just encourage you? Don't quit in the dip. Don't quit in the middle. Don't quit in the struggle. This is what I love about the finish line. Finishing is not hard. It's easy. I've been watching the Olympics. Those young men and young women have been setting Olympic and world records like crazy. You know what all of them do at the finish line? I'm just as fast as them doing that. I could come off the blocks and start a race. You know where they would beat me? Not at the beginning, not at the end. They would beat me in the middle because they're conditioned to fight through pain. They're conditioned to fight through fatigue. They are trained to do a certain thing. Can I encourage you, church? It is not how you start. It is not always how you finish. It is how you react to the middle places of life. And I am here to tell you that God has called you. God has created you. God has anointed you to withstand the attack in the middle. Don't stop when it gets rough. Just keep praying. Keep pressing. Keep worshiping. Keep serving. It's in the middle. It's in the middle. It's in the middle. It's when things get tough. We're all good at the finish line. It's in the middle. You know how I know the middle is where it gets tough? All of y'all are posting pictures for the next 2 weeks about your kid on their first day of school. Most of you will post pictures on their last day of school. And we'll get a side-by-side comparison. You know what no one does? Some random picture, January 26th, 120 days into the school year. Her ponytail is no longer perfect. Her braid and her part is off-centered. He's got mismatched shoes and socks. Nobody's taking a picture of that. Why? Because it's in the middle. We struggle in the Western world today because we look at somebody's Instagram profile. We look at how they act at church. We look at their best foot. Listen, you are seeing them at the beginning. You are seeing them at the end. Nobody's posting pictures in the middle. Why? Because we are fighting for our marriage. Fighting for our children, fighting for our purpose. I post pictures of me and my wife when we were dating, engaged, married. You don't see your boy posting pictures at the house saying, me and Mandy just had a knockdown drag out. We're fighting through it in the middle. And can I tell you that in the middle, you are going to have to fight. In the middle, you are going to have to persevere. In the middle, you are going to have to say, Holy Ghost, take control of this because I don't know what else to do. In the middle is where the rubber meets the road. People start families and then they bounce. We don't got a lot of kids in here. Gentlemen are just sperm donors for the night. Then they won't, oh, I knew it'd get quiet there. That's all right. But then they don't take care. Why? Because it's easy to make a child. It's easy to make a baby. But to be there 18 years and to support them financially, put a roof over their head and make sure they have everything they need, and for the rest of their life be there to pray for them, encourage them, whatever they need to make. That's what, where it separates the men from the boys. They can start, but where are they in the middle? We can start coming to church. We can make that fresh. We can make that fresh appearance on Easter. And then for those maybe watching today, I know a lot of people that start churches. And they launch churches. And they get everybody to show up that first Sunday. And oh, we had 123, and that's great. But they don't know that everybody comes out to the first Sunday to see what it looks like. You had aunties and uncles that you ain't seen before. So what? Because your mama invited them to her baby boy or her baby girl's first church service. And you've got a strip center rented out, and you got folding chairs, and the aesthetics in the room are nice, and you got up and preached a sermon, and you had 123 people there, and then the next Sunday you got 26 people there, and you're thinking, maybe I made a mistake, and you fold that church up in 6 months after you told everybody that God called you to start it, because the middle got difficult. We're going to master, church, the middle. We're going to master the middle. I've known people that don't start because they're already thinking about the middle. They say things like, I'll try. They say things like, let's see how this goes. In my mind, when people say that, they have already quit. The middle has already grown so magnanimous in their mind that they are no longer even going to attempt. Can I encourage you? Don't try. Do. Don't say, I'm going to see how this goes. Say, I'm going to see this through. It doesn't matter who I lose. Doesn't matter who I gain. Doesn't matter what's taken from me. Doesn't matter what is added to me. If this is where God has called me to be, then this is where God has called me to be. If this is what God has called me to do, then this is what God has called me to do. Life is not going to be skipping through the tulips and everything is rainbows, butterflies, and unicorns. Sometimes you're going to wake up saying, I don't want to mess with this anymore. I don't want to continue anymore. Man, I've been treated bad. I've been discarded. I've been ignored. I've been attacked. But I am here to tell you, if God has put you in that place, don't you dip in the dip. Don't you leave in the middle. God is going to turn this thing around. And as I preached a few weeks ago, your comeback season will be your greatest season. But you've just got to learn how to master the middle. So start the middle. The middle is what takes most people out. The daily grind. What you do in the middle determines if you finish. Not always how you start, it's how you finish. Let's jump into Hebrews chapter 12. I love this. Therefore, since we are surrounded. Somebody say surrounded. Pastor Becky, you sang tonight, surrounded. What surrounds you, I believe this, church, what surrounds you, I know you give ear to, but what surrounds you begins to shape your outlook, your faith, your declaration. What surrounds you? You say, well, I feel like I'm surrounded by the enemy. If you're surrounded by the enemy and you're a believer, it's a trap for the enemy. Because if you look over the enemy's shoulder, you'll see that he's surrounded by God. That's why those old songs we learned, and I still remember this one when I was a little kid and we'd sing, he's got the whole world in his hands. Does that mean the ones that are coming at to attack me, he's got them in his hands? Does that mean every weapon that the enemy has designed to destroy me and the plan of God for my life, God has got it in his hands? And can I tell you that the enemy does not have permission to touch you unless he goes to God? That's Job chapter 1. Any attack that I'm going through as a believer, I am ready for. I'm standing on the word of God. I am full of the Holy Ghost. I am operating in faith. I remember the promises of God. I have my weapons sharp, my weapons of worship, prayer, of all all of those things already. And so if I'm surrounded by the enemy, if I just look over their shoulder, I know that there is a God that has that enemy right where he wants them, and it's just a matter of time before it's turned. Said, we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. I love this. We use this a lot during funerals, just to remind everybody that there is a heaven filled with great men and women that have gone on before us. Your grandmothers, your grandfathers, your fathers, mothers, siblings, and in some cases, children. Great men and women from this church. I remember Gary Blair sitting right over there. I remember Brother Willie Walker was the usher right here. I remember Franklin Fergosa sat right where Mario's sitting tonight. These great men of God. I remember Susie Washington would sit right here, and every once in a while, she'd do the Susie strut. Just think about this. Every one of those I mentioned, Brother Leslie Nichols sitting right here, every one of those I mentioned right now are having popcorn with David, Esther, Moses, Peter, Paul, Mary, and they're all watching us. They are not witnessing us like we do the Olympics. I feel bad for the athletes because the cheering, the crowd is not there for this great moment in their life. Can I encourage you that the witnesses that God has in heaven are not just watching us, they're cheering us on, saying, if I could face what I faced and come out on the other end of it, you can too. If the middle got a little dicey for me, but I kept course, you can too. And so God said, I want you to realize that what is surrounding you is greater than what is coming at you and what the enemy is trying to do to you. But when I look at the word witness in the Greek, it is the word maturio. Maturio means three things. It means reputation. Now, when we say reputation as it relates to the Greek, it is not like our word reputation. It is character. Reputation is what people think you are. Character is who God knows you are. Remember, God doesn't bless who you pretend to be. God bless us who you really are. So here's just a nugget for somebody today. If your life's void of blessing, try being the real you and let God bless that you instead of the one that you've been trying to be. You can't worship God in the church and cuss your wife out. That doesn't work. You can't, oh, come on now. You can't come down here and praise and gossip about your boss at work or gossip about your coworker or sleep around. Is that too much on a Wednesday night? God can only bless who you really are, not who you pretend to be. And so when we talk about reputation, we talk about witness. He said we are surrounded by a witness, by a great cloud of witnesses, more than one, which is why we are surrounded. It takes more than one. We're surrounded 8, 10, 12, maybe 20, 30, 40 witnesses, reputation. But I love the other one. The other word for it in the Greek is witness. Now, a witness is somebody who is called to testify. You give your testimony when you testify. So the great cloud of witnesses is not just cheering me on and you on. If it's the witness God has called it to be, they are testifying not of what God has promised me, but they're testifying of what God has already done for them. A witness, when they testify, they talk about what they saw, what they heard, and what was done. Can I encourage you that when we run our race on this earth like Hebrews 12 calls us to do, when we are stuck in the middle, when we are in the valley portions of life, can I tell you that David right now, he is testifying that, Brandon, you can fight that giant because there was a Goliath that I had to fight. That Esther's saying, Brandon, if you've got to stand before men and talk about God, remember, I had to stand before an entire kingdom. I had to go before the king, and my people were spared. So check this out. The witnesses in heaven give you encouragement by what they said and what God did. We are overcomers by what? The blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony as a witness. So before I even get to this next part, That's why you should share your testimony. Because your testimony allows you to witness to someone who is in the middle like you used to be. See, my middle, church, is a lot different than my middle was when I was 29. At 29, my middle was different than it was at 19. That's why you need great mentors, men and women, who can tell you, I know exactly where you're at. I know exactly what you're going through. But can I witness to you for a minute and let you know, I remember what it's like to be 25. I remember what it's like to get ready to be married. I remember what it was like to be lonely. I remember what it was like to be broke. I remember what it was like to be sick. But can I tell you, Jesus came down and he turned everything around. And your witness now helps them through their middle. Through their middle. Their reputation, their witness, and their testimony. Here's the number one thing, and I don't think we'll get much past this tonight. Here's the number one thing that you better have right in your life to make it through the middle. You better have the right witnesses around you. I preach on this probably every other sermon, and I touch on it, and I'm going to keep touching on it from here until Jesus comes back. Why? Because there's some of you that are in the middle, and there's some of you that don't understand why you're in the middle. And can I tell you that you are one relationship away from getting out of the middle? Can I tell you that you are two relationships away? Once you cut them off, you're going to get unstuck. You're coming out of the wilderness. Can I tell you that there is one or two people that God's been wanting to bring into your life that if you would let them come in and surround you with their witness on who God is and what he can do and speak some life and faith into your life. Can I tell you, the middle is not your home. You're not long for that world, but God is taking you to the finish line so you can start your next race. You can start your next season. You can start your next place that God has called you to. You don't have to stay in the middle, but if you're going to get out the middle, you're going to have to change the witnesses around you. Witnesses can only tell you what they've seen, what they've heard, and what they've experienced. So quit trying to get an anointing hanging out with snakes. Quit trying to fulfill your calling hanging out with pigs and dogs. Get around some anointed men and women of God. Get around some people that have been there and done that. So when you're running your race and you're stuck in the middle, you've got witnesses up top and you got witnesses surrounding you saying, hey, don't you throw in the towel. Remember, God has anointed and appointed you. Remember the vision God gave you. Remember what he called you out of. I'm tired of seeing our young people marry losers and wonder why they're losing. So tired of seeing people that are hooking up, and not just hooking up in relationships, but just in friendships and in business with people that do not bear witness to what we bear witness with. I am here to tell you, if you go into business with them, why would you pick somebody who's not spirit-filled? Why would you pick somebody that doesn't have a foundation of God and his word? Well, every millionaire I own is secular. You better find, there's a lot of millionaires that love Jesus. There's a lot of successful people filled with the Holy Ghost. This church has a few of them, and I can point them out to you. You need somebody that can witness to you in the middle. I want to convey this. I want to convey this. I don't know what time it is. I want to convey this. I preached 2 years ago, maybe last year. Maybe it was last year. I preached on squad goals. And I'm gonna tell you just a truth. One of the dear brothers in this church came to me and he said, I just can't get with that whole squad goals. And he said, man, I'm having trouble with this. And I said, break it down for me. What are you having trouble with? I said, maybe I misspoke. Maybe. And he said, well, you keep talking about surrounding yourself with the right people. He said, I'm not the right people.
for anybody. I said, you gotta realize, bro, that you know Jesus. You're full of His Holy Spirit. You're a church goer. You're a giver. You serve. You are involved. Let me just encourage you. And I just encouraged him for about 5 minutes. We weren't even at the church when I was encouraging him. I said, you got to know that there are people that God has delivered you from things that they're going through. And you might be comparing yourself to somebody who's been walking with God for 40 years. But can I tell you, go down to the block that God rescued you from. Go back and talk to those guys that you used to run the street with. Can I tell you that you can be a blessing to them and witness to them? Every one of us has somebody that we can witness to. You say, I don't, Pastor. Then you're not leaving your house. Because I don't care if it's the Valero station, HEB. I don't care if you're at the bank. I don't care if you walk down the street. Somebody is going to be hurting. And if we listen to the Holy Ghost is going to say, that person is stuck in the middle. And they're not listening to what God is doing in heaven. They don't know that Moses, Abraham, and all of them are cheering them on. But you know what they do know? And you know what they do see? And you know who he can hear? You. Go over there and be their witness this afternoon. You might not get them to the cross, but check this out. For the unsaved, the cross is the finish line. You might not get them to the cross. Oh, this is going to bless somebody. But you can encourage them not to quit in the middle and to keep moving and to keep fighting and to keep pressing on. How many people do we pass by every day that are suicidal, that just need somebody to remind them there is life left in front of you? There are people that love you and are depending on you, that God has you here for a moment and a plan for your life. And it could take 20 seconds, but you can encourage and witness to them. Do not stop in the middle. Can I encourage you? Our homework assignment, the next 4 days until I see you again, we need to do these two things. We need to identify the witnesses in our life, but we need to find who we can witness to and encourage them. Don't you stop in the middle. Don't you quit in the dip. You keep going like God has called you to keep going. I'm out of time. We are surrounded by the great cloud of witnesses. The witnesses that we're surrounded by, Pastor Becky, if you'll come, the witnesses we're surrounded by, I love this. I love that the Bible is full of imperfect people that once God got involved in their lives, they ended up doing great things. Abraham didn't quit in the middle. In the middle, he was a liar. In the middle, he had no faith. In the middle, he was sleeping with women that were not a part of God's plan. But at the end, he's called the father of faith. In the New Testament, in Hebrews 11, we hear and read great things about Abraham. All because he didn't quit in the middle. David, man, that dude's out there lusting. Before pornography was a thing, before he could get it on his TV or his phone or in a magazine, he was a peeping Tom on the top porch of the kingdom, looking at Bathsheba. You know why they called her Bathsheba? She was taking a bath. Otherwise, she would have been Shower Sheba. There's your dad joke for the day. But we call David the Prince of Praise, not the Prince of Pornography. Why? Because he didn't quit in the dip. Because he didn't stop in the middle. When the middle got messy, he said, I'm going to keep going. Now, it took a Nathan, it took a man of God, it took a witness, come on, to come and confront him with what he had done and who he was becoming. You're becoming just like Saul. And David shook himself and said, no, I don't want to be that. I want to be a praiser. I want to teach this nation what it means to praise. I want to have some Solomon. I want to have somebody that builds the temple. Moses was a murderer in the middle. At the end, he's a great deliverer because he didn't stop in the middle. Mary of Magdalene was possessed with 7 spirits in her middle. And she ends up being one of the greatest faith-filled pioneers, man or woman, that has ever been. Can I just encourage you, church? Master the middle. Find out what it means to live Monday through Saturday, not just Sunday. Find out what it means to live between graduation date and wedding date. Learn what it means to live between when you get your job and when you finish your job. Mastering the middle. You know why Easter is so big? Because it's the start. But that next Sunday after Easter, where are all those people? They haven't mastered the middle. On a Wednesday night, I know it almost seems ironic that I would be teaching this series. But it's not just coming to church that we have to master. You've mastered that if you're here on a Wednesday night. But standing on our feet tonight, I want to encourage you that in your life, in the moments you want to throw in the towel, the moments when it gets difficult, we need more transparency. I love Pastor Tommy Barnett, who stood, I think he was in the old building now, and he was 70-some years old then, I guess. Built three of the greatest churches in America, one in Iowa, one in Phoenix, one in L.A. He said, somebody asked him, Pastor Tommy, you ever want to quit? He said, every single day. But he said, the trick is I don't. What he was really saying is I've learned how to master the middle. I've learned that every day is not going to be Easter. But every day I have the resurrection power to continue on to make it to the next Easter. I know every day is not going to be the best day of my life. But every day of my life I have the Word of God, the Spirit of God, the presence of God, the weapons of worship and prayer that can get me to my next best day. And I want to open this altar right now to men and women all over this building today that you are in the middle. Maybe you feel stuck. Maybe you're not as far down the road as you thought you'd be. Maybe it's taking longer. Can I just encourage you, just as a pastor, that I'm rooting you on. When you win, we win. And I want to see you win. I want to see you live up to the glorious standard of Jesus Christ. I want you to wear that badge of Christian on over your heart like a badge of honor, because it means I've accepted Christ, but I've also been through some stuff, but the stuff didn't stop me. I just kept moving. But I also want to encourage you. That might not encourage you that I'm rooting for you. I am, but it might not encourage you tonight. But can I tell you that David himself, Moses and Abraham, Paul, Silas, Timothy, they're up there saying, you can do it. Keep going. Don't stop. Don't quit. Keep pursuing Christ. Wake up following Christ. Go to bed following Christ. In the middle, follow Christ. In the darkness, follow Christ. You say, well, that doesn't really help me. I can't see them. I can't hear them. But can I tell you that Luke 22 says that Jesus is praying for you. Jesus, the Savior of this world, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, said that he's praying for you that your faith would not fail. Why would Jesus pray that your faith would not fail? Because he knows you're in the middle of something. He knows that this is the moment that you would stop if you could. But some of you, your testimonies, I don't even know why I'm still standing, but I'm just going to keep moving. The reason you're still standing is the prayers of Jesus Christ have kept you afloat. The prayers of Jesus Christ have kept you moving forward. He is praying that your faith in the middle is what keeps you moving forward. If there's anybody in this house tonight and you need Jesus Christ, if you've never accepted him as your Lord and Savior,